And thank you, Deaconess June, for inviting me to speak today. It's lovely to be back here. This is my home church. I was christened here, I won't tell you how many years ago. In fact, much longer than before some of you were born. And I was also confirmed here. And this is a place where I came into a living touch with the Lord when I was a teenager. So it's great to be back home at the cathedral. Our theme for today is walking on water. And if you have Bibles with you, or you want to turn to the Bibles in the pew, you can look at Matthew chapter 14 from verse 22 to 33, the reading that we had today. Matthew chapter 14 from verse 22 to 33. And this is an amazing passage because it shows us Jesus Christ walking on water and also Peter walking on water together with him. We can learn five things from this passage, five glorious truths. The first is the journey. The Christian life is a journey. For Jesus and the disciples, there was also a journey. Now, before this miraculous walking on water, what happened? Well, we are told in Matthew chapter 14 that there was the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 people were fed with five loaves and two fish. It was a miraculous event. You can imagine the rapturous applause and joy of both the crowds and the disciples. It could have been very easy for Jesus and the disciples to say, let's stay on for more repeats. Isn't it great that we can feed so many people? We see God providing for hungry men and women. They could have stayed there. The disciples could have formed a victory celebration. But no, no. For Jesus, there was a journey. For him, it was, as we are told in Matthew chapter 14, that he went up to the mountain to pray, alone with the Father. He was not overcome by success to stay with the people to receive their praises, their commendation. No, it was to seek the Father. That was his journey. And for the disciples, they were not to remain there on that mountain. They were to go across the Lake of Galilee, to the other side, because mission awaits them. So there is a journey. Now, as we look at our own lives, it's so easy to remain where we are. Perhaps in this church, in your study group, you may have wonderful meetings with God. You feel his presence, and your heart is warmed, stirred by him, and by fellowship with warm-hearted Christians. And it's so easy to stay put in a specific spot. We're afraid to leave our comfort zone. And we say to God, please, let me stay here forever. But that is not the purpose of God. God's purpose is that we go on a journey with him. We move on. And this journey is a long, long walk. And God wants us to move on from our comfortable zone to new experiences of him, of his power, of his love, and of his grace. So the first point is the journey. We are on our journey. And if we are prepared to move, we will discover many, many wonderful things. And I thank God that during these years of walking with Jesus, I'm discovering every day something wonderful, something new. Secondly, the storm. Now, many Christians think that the Christian life is like a bed of roses, always sunshine and gentle breezes with an occasional rain. That would be glorious. We like that kind of weather. We like to have wonderful situations. But God often allows storms to come into our life. And sometimes he even sends storm to wake us up from our complacency, from our slumber, to realize where we are and to know something of his greatness and his rescuing power. So here were the disciples, 12 of them, and they were sailing across the Sea of Galilee. I suppose when they started, the sky, the weather was fair, and they thought it would just be an easy journey to the other side. And some of them were experienced fishermen. They must have crossed this lake on numerous occasions. And so they sailed on. And then we are told a storm arose. There was a huge squall. And in Matthew's gospel, we are told the boat was buffeted. It was, as it were, attacked by the waves, by the wind. It rocked and rolled in the sea. And the disciples were very fearful. Imagine disciples saying, "Why? What's happening? How come the skies are so dark and the wind is howling and the waves are so choppy and they come surging so high? Are we going to sink? What's going to happen to us?" And then they might be asking, "Jesus, where are you? Some weeks ago, you were with us stilling the storm. But how come you sent us on? And we are in this plight, in this terrible situation, being buffeted by waves and winds. I don't understand. God, where are you?" 10 weeks ago, I was in Jerusalem. My son, my grandson, and I were speaking at a conference. And I remember going down to the Garden of Gethsemane. Been there before, but this time I noticed a plaque. And on this plaque were the words of Jesus: "Father, if it be possible, let this cup be removed from me. Not my will, but yours be done." Well, I know the verse and you know it too. But then what I saw was a prayer written both in English and in German. And this prayer was of a person struggling with God. He was in agony, trying to understand the mind and the will of God. And the prayer concluded with these words: "Father, I don't understand you, but I will trust you. I don't understand you, but I will trust you." Now, those words struck me in a very powerful way. I took my iPhone up quickly, took a picture of the plaque with those words. And the next day, I broke half of my tooth, chipped off. And if you had that experience, a jagged end would hurt your tongue. So there I was in this hotel, in this lovely place in Jerusalem. We had buffet meals every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. All the wonderful Middle Eastern food. And I couldn't eat. So I don't understand. God, I was looking forward to a great Middle Eastern feast, but now I can't eat. But not only that, I couldn't speak. And that evening, the next day, I was supposed to give the main talk. But a kind friend gave me a piece of chewing gum. And she said to me, "Put this on your tooth, and then you can speak." Thankfully, for 1 hour, I managed to deliver my message, and God anointed that word. So I was grateful. So there was a storm, which I do not understand. And even before coming here to Singapore, we were going to Hong Kong. And 3 days before we set off to Hong Kong, I had a vertigo attack, which I never had before. The room, my bedroom was spinning, and I couldn't control myself. And I thought, "Dear, dear, dear, this means I can't travel." And then my blood pressure just shot up. "Lord, I don't understand, but I trust." We had to go to the hospital in an ambulance, very well treated, and the doctor said to me, "You can go, you can travel. In terms of danger, there's more danger in Hong Kong than you're traveling in a plane." So thank God I was able to travel, ministered in Hong Kong, and then came here to Singapore. We may not understand, but we have to trust. All through life, that can be our experience. Many things we want an answer. "Why, God, can't you reveal that to me?" But then the heavens can remain silent. God doesn't speak, but our task is to trust Him in the storm. So our journey is not only of sunshine, there's also storm as well. This is reality. The third point is walking on water, walking on water. Now here were these disciples panicking, so dark, and didn't know what to do. The boat could not be steered. It was just spinning, as it were, round and round. Then suddenly, they saw a light in the distance. And we are told in Matthew's gospel, it was the fourth watch. Jesus appeared on the fourth watch. What on earth is the fourth watch? It's time. The time is 3 o'clock in the morning. 3 a.m. So for a few hours, the disciples were there, confused, fearful, And then fourth hour, 3 a.m. in the morning, Jesus walked on water. So when he saw him in their confused state, they thought it was a ghost. And they were all frightened, probably crying out, saying, "It's a ghost, a phantom. What shall we do? What shall we do?" They were terrified. Then we are told Jesus came near to them and he began to speak to them, very assuring words. "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Now those are wonderful words, and I believe they are words that God wants you and I to remember. Take courage, it is I. Don't fear, don't be afraid. Now, in the Greek, which also reflects the Hebrew words or Aramaic words that Jesus spoke, it is not, "it is I." The Greek has only one word, "I me," which means, "I am." Now, in Hebrew, when the word "I am," the statement is mentioned, the disciples who were Jewish would know instantly that this was the personal name of God. They revered it. And here was this man, Jesus, whom they've been walking, sleeping and dining and walking with, suddenly said, "I am." Don't be afraid. I am. Take heart. Take courage. Wow. Because Jesus was revealing to them that he is the mighty Lord of the universe. That he's the one who can control storms. Now, many Christians think of Jesus as a kind of religious God. So when we are reading our Bibles, when we are praying, when we go to church, we think, oh, Jesus must be very pleased with us. And we can honor him because he must be with us when we do Bible study, Bible reading, when we pray, or when we have fellowship with other Christians. Yes, he is there. Yes, he is pleased. But Jesus is pleased with life, the whole of our life. So a few weeks ago when I was preaching in London, I said to the congregation, God is not interested in your spiritual life. Everybody said up. Sometimes it's good to shock people. God is not interested in your religious life. But I went on to say, he is interested in your life, the whole of your life. Now, it's very important. What is your concept, your view, your perspective of Jesus? Is he the great God of the universe? Or is he just a religious God, a godling, a tiny God, a mini God, a micro God? And if you are walking on this journey with Jesus, you'll discover that he's a great and a mighty God. Some months ago, I was with my youngest son, Steve, in his home church in California. He's a pastor of that local church. And there was a prayer meeting. During that time, Southern California had had 3 months of drought. There was no rain. Everything was dry. The grass was brown. The trees, the leaves, all brown. It was an awful sight. And then as we were praying, towards the end of the prayer meeting, God spoke, dropped a voice, a word into my ear, into my heart. He says, "Go, get these people out in the car park and pray for rain." So I said, "Lord, is that you?" "Yes." So I didn't want to control the prayer meeting. That's not my church. It's my son's pastoral responsibility. Then I spoke briefly to him. I said, "Steve, can I ask all of us to leave the room to go and pray?" That was the end of the prayer meeting. So they all agreed. We went to the car park and 25 or so people began to pray, lifted our hands to heaven to ask God for rain. Prayed for 10, 15 minutes. And at the end of those minutes, what happened? A few drops of rain. Then stop. Doesn't matter, because a few hours later, there was a huge deluge. The whole of Southern California, the rains just came pouring down. So God was trying to teach us that he is the Lord, also of nature, not just of religious things only. And here in this church, there's somebody who's come to this service just to show me their baby. 3 years ago, when I was preaching in Holy Week meeting, she just ran up to me, called me, "Uncle, uncle, I believe that God wants you to pray for me. I said, oh, that's fine. What do you want me to pray for? Well, we've been married, she said, for some years. We don't have a child. And we desperately want to have a child. So I say, God, shall I pray that for her? Is that your purpose and will? Yes? Good. So I prayed. 9 months later, they had a lovely baby boy. See, we got to see God as a great God. And in my life, I've seen blind people see again. I've seen people with strokes, heal, cancer being tackled. Just only a few days ago, I was having lunch with a plastic surgeon in Hong Kong. 4.5 years ago, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. His sister frantically phoned me, says, Pastor, can you pray for him? And then as I prayed for him, he was not a Christian then. I said, look, brother, if you want to be a victorious person, overcome cancer, you need the power of Jesus, great God, to really be in you, to give you the strength to overcome. Thankfully, he invited Jesus into his life, and now he's alive, playing golf, going on exotic journeys to different parts of the world. So you see, we must have this concept of Jesus, of God. He's great. Some years ago, there was a well-known Bible translator called J.B. Phillips, an Anglican pastor, preacher, vicar, and he wrote a book with the title, Your God is Too Small. Your God is Too Small. So let me ask you a question. How big is your God? How great, how mighty is Jesus? And if you see him as great, then his words would pierce your mind, your heart, your soul. Don't be afraid. It's me. I am. Don't be afraid. So are you going through some storms? Are you going through some predicament, something you don't understand? Have you been retrenched from your job? Your relationships at home, at work, all messed up, all turned pear-shaped? You don't know what to do? No answers to the dilemma that you are facing? Then you need to look at Jesus. And say, you are the one, and you can walk on water. You can do the impossible. Because to walk on water is to defy the law of gravity. Now, when Jesus was walking on water, Peter was very excited. He opened his mouth quickly. Lord, if it's really you, command me, tell me to come out to you. And Peter heard the voice of Jesus saying, come. And he immediately got off the boat. He didn't think of the danger. He simply jumped out, as it were, and he began to walk on water. Wow! He must be very excited. He must be saying, when I get home, I tell my wife, I tell my neighbors about this stupendous experience walking on water with Jesus. And he walked. When he looked at Jesus, he was able to walk on water. But then, like most of us, Peter began to see the winds, feel the winds, saw the waves, the choppy lake. What happened? He was so fearful. I can't do it. How can I walk on water? I'm going to drown. Help! I'm sinking. And Jesus had to stretch forth his hand to save him. So we come to our fourth point. First, we talk about the journey. Then the storm. Journey is mixed with sunshine and storms. Then about the miraculous way that God walks with us, and we trust Jesus, we can do mighty things, we can walk with him on water. But fourthly, distraction and drowning. When Peter's eyes were away from Jesus, when he saw the winds and the waves, what happened? He began to sink. He nearly drowned. He had to call out to God for help. So in life too, when we face dangers and perils, when our eyes are off Jesus, not focused on him, we can sink. And fear can so grip us that we can't do anything. We're paralyzed. Oh dear, is this disease terminal? Is this relationship broken forever? Will there be forever separation? What can I do? And fear grip us. How can we survive? How can we overcome again? My finances are in a horrible, horrible state. Not in the black, in the red. What shall I do? And fear can so grip us that we can do nothing. And someone has wisely said, it is fear, not the sharks in the water, that cause you to sing. I like that. It is fear, not the sharks in the water that cause you to sink. Not sharks that bite you and pull you down, but it's your fear. And then someone has said, if you find yourself doubting, discouraged, drowning, remember, 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 your lifeguard walks on water. Amen? This is a great truth. In the most difficult, perilous situation, Jesus is there with me, for me. My lifeguard walks on water. Hallelujah. Walking on water. If we get distracted, we will drown. But if we keep our eyes fixed on Him, we can walk with Him. And finally, fifth point, worship. By this time, Jesus walked back to the boat with Peter, and together they got into the boat. The other disciples saw them, and then they recognized, together with Peter, that this man, Jesus, was truly the Son of God. And we are told in Matthew Gospels, verse 33, they cried out saying, truly, you are the Son of God. You are God in human flesh. And they worshipped Him. Now the Jews were brought up to worship only one true God. And here were men, 12 men, tough people, worshipping Jesus. Now when you see Jesus doing miraculous things, you begin to worship. You are great. I exalt you. I lift you up. I trust you forever because you are this great God and you bow in worship. What is worship? Worship is celebrating the worthship of God. You are worthy. You are worthy. And that's why I worship you. I magnify you. Like Mary did, we magnify the Lord. So let's conclude. We've been looking at this amazing story about walking on water, and we learned that life is a long journey. It consists of sunshine and storms. There will be lots of joy, but there will also be times of trials, just like the reading we had from 1 Peter 4. There will be persecution, misunderstanding, and even severe testing. Life is like that. Life has its fair share of storms. But we have to remember that in the midst of storm, Jesus is there. It could be the fourth hour, 3 a.m. in the morning, but He is there. He walks on water. He's saying to us today, remember, I'm that great God. I'm not a godling, a tiny God. You can trust me and I can hold you. I can defend you. I can champion you to the very end. Take courage. Don't be afraid. It is I am. I am the Lord. And then if you find yourself now drowning in a desperate situation, cry out to Him. He will hold you up, rescue you. And then as He delivers you, you begin to say, God has done wonderful things. You look at Him, like the disciples, you too, I too, will bow down and worship that God. So He invites us to rise to really worship Him. So let's do that as we pray together. Let's bow our heads and in prayer. Let's take a moment of quiet and talk to Jesus, our Lord, and say, Lord, what are you teaching me? What are you saying to me through your word? And I believe that His word to all of us, as we step out of this church, as we go to our home, to our work, wherever He may send us, He wants us to hear this week, in times of joy, in times of sorrow, in times of success, in times of difficulties or even failures, He says to us, take courage. It is I am. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that passage from Matthew's Gospel, revealing to us that you are the Lord who walks on water, and that we can walk also with you when we keep our eyes on you. Please forgive us when we are so distracted, when our focus is away from you, when we look at our circumstances And then fear hits us and grips us and torments us. Forgive us for caving in to fear. We trust you, Lord. We want to walk with you. And thank you that you are there for us. So send us on our way with confidence in you, the great God, the God who stands by us, the God who can still storms, the God who walks on water and invites us to walk with you. So we do want to respond to you, trusting you, walking by faith, following you today and all the days of my life. So receive, Lord, our thanks, our worship, in your name. Amen.